Welcome back, everyone. Pastor Chris with you in Luke 12 today with stern warnings from Jesus about three major pitfalls. You know those old cartoons where some poor unsuspecting fool slips on a banana peel? I don't know if real banana peels work that way, but these three will take you down. Hypocrisy, greed, and worry. The first warning comes at verse 1. Meanwhile, when a crowd of many thousands had gathered so that they were trampling on one another, Jesus began to speak first to his disciples, saying, "Be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy." Be on your guard against yeast. Yeast is that magical fungus that you put in bread dough. Just a pinch will fluff up a whole loaf. Good stuff. The Bible uses yeast symbolically of things that spread fast, like sin, bad stuff, and in this case, hypocrisy. There's a big crowd now, and Jesus knows that crowds change the way people act. The disciples have onlookers, maybe even some fans. Onlookers affect you, but allow just a pinch of pretentiousness, and that fungus will puff up your ego till it pops. Hypocrisy means saying one thing and doing another, a pious demeanor with a rotten heart. The Pharisees had it in droves. What's the antidote? A little dose of reality. Verse 2. There is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed, or hidden that will not be made known. What you have said in the dark will be heard in the daylight, and what you have whispered in the ear in the inner rooms will be proclaimed from the roofs. That should shake you. Nothing stays hidden. It shakes me. There is no darkness that can hide the real me from my Creator. Every lie, every gossip, every time I fake the faith to impress the crowd, He is never fooled for a moment, and He will reveal. So why do we try? Why fake it? The answer is the fear of man, that over-concern for what people think. Verse 4. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body and after that can do no more, but fear him who after your body has been killed has authority to throw you into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. A healthy fear of God is the true antidote for every hypocrisy. You don't need to look good for anyone but the Lord, and he doesn't buy your act. Walk in the light, and remember, He already loves you. Just be real. Well, Jesus is still teaching, so let's jump to verse 10. And everyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven, but anyone who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven. Okay, big question here. What is the one sin that Jesus says will not be forgiven? It's right here, blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. So what does that mean? Well, there's some debate. Some say it was something that was only possible for those who witnessed Jesus in person. Most teachers agree that if you're worried you may have done it, you probably didn't, because you wouldn't care anymore if you did. But what is it? Blasphemy means speaking evil against or defiant irreverence. And the key distinction here is speaking a word against Jesus, forgiven, and blaspheming the Holy Spirit, not forgiven. Jesus came as a man. The Holy Spirit convicts hearts of sin, righteousness, and judgment. So perhaps Jesus means we will be forgiven for doubting what we see and hear. But rejecting what God makes known to your heart is another story. And I don't think this is a one-time mistake. I believe Jesus is talking about a perpetual, obstinate refusal to believe the Holy Spirit, to be fully convicted, yet refuse. Well, up next, in verse 13, a man asks Jesus to settle an argument with his brother. They're fighting over inheritance. Interesting, Jesus tells them it's not his job to settle every argument. And today still, we Christians can try to stop arguments by calling Jesus on our side and refusing to budge. But Jesus calls us to deal with our own disputes. Don't hide behind your faith. Work it out. But watch his warning. Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions. Greed will drop a wrench in the gears of any compromise. You'll never negotiate fairly when your motive is money. Life is more than things. If your life was a box of cereal, the ingredients list wouldn't include your car, your toys, or your accounts. Life is what lasts. Faith, hope, and love. Life is the truths you live by. It's how you treat people, not what you get from them. So Jesus tells a parable about a rich man with an abundant harvest. Business was good. What to do with all that grain? Verse 18. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. Ah, the easy life. Now, the Bible teaches us to enjoy life, but this isn't joy. It's greed. Verse 20. But God said to him, you fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? That phrase intrigues me. Your life will be demanded from you. Not your possessions, not your good intentions, your life. What you did, how you treated others, how you used what God entrusted with you to help. None of it is yours to keep. It's on loan from God, and we will all give an account. Warning 1, hypocrisy. 2, greed. Warning 3, worry. Now, I don't think that Jesus is here condemning worry as a sin. He's helping. And throwing guilt on top of your anxiety issues does not help. So let these words encourage you. Verse 22. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. Notice that the key again is to understand what life is and isn't. Stuff makes you worry. Worry you won't have enough, or worry you'll lose it. But that stuff isn't life. Worry is dangerous. It fixes your mind on things that don't matter as much. It steals your joy. Just like greed and hypocrisy, it makes you care more about things and less about people. Verse 24. Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn. Yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable you are than birds. God cares about you. Calm your heart. Look to God's world. He is provider, and He values you. Now, hypocrisy, greed, and worry each happen when our focus moves off of God and onto worldly things. So in verse 29, and do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it, for the pagan world runs after all such things, and your Father knows that you need them. The heart of the issue is your heart and where you set it. If it's on worldly things, you're gonna worry. Verse 31 is worth memorizing. But seek His kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. This is the key to it all. Seek God's kingdom. His kingdom is every place that serves Him as King. So put all your striving into living right in His sight. Stop pursuing happiness and pursue righteousness. Pursue His glory. Pursue happiness and you'll get neither. Pursue God and you'll find both. God is giving us His kingdom. So why are we so concerned with stuff? But what do we do when our hearts are so fixed on our things? Verse 33. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out. A treasure in heaven that will never fail. Where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Watch this. Following your heart comes naturally. But the trick is to lead your heart. How do you lead it? First, understand it. Where your treasure goes, your heart follows. Whatever you invest in, with time, money, thought, creativity. Think about it. Odds are you're not a model train enthusiast. But if you spend the next week spending loads of hard-earned money starting a model train set, poring over train blogs with research, creativity, investment, take a guess where your heart will be. It will spend every waking moment waiting for FedEx to show up with the new Lionel X3000 train engine. Now, I made that up. But if you want your heart to be in heaven, lead it there. Invest your time, energy, creativity, money, and most importantly, your love into God's kingdom. Treasure it, and your heart will not resist. By the way, the same principle works in marriage. If your heart's just not in it anymore, lead it back. Invest time, creativity, even money. Now, there's a lot more good stuff here in chapter 12, but we are out of time. Read Luke 12 for yourself. Be on guard and check your heart for hypocrisy, greed, and worry, and take a healthy dose of God's antidote. Seek first His kingdom. And I'll meet you back here next time.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word.